Thanks, John, Ben, and Dan. Seven down.
Well, and
seven down.
We'll come back for the rest of the draw. And Johnny, half this field, and interestingly, the the two favorites waiting for both Monomoy Girl and for Midnight Bizou to get their names called.
Yeah, there's some good posts left. I mean, it shouldn't be. You know, there's one bad one left too, but it shouldn't be a problem for them. I mean, Midnight Bizou, what an outstanding race that was with Santa Anita Oaks. Just she showed a new dimension and came from off the pace. Something you don't see at Santa Anita that often from that far back, that impressively. It was just a powerful race. Now, the track was a little different that day. That was Santa Anita Derby Day, a little deeper, but she was very impressive.
Have you, as we wait for this break, one of the things, I didn't get a chance to talk about it with Gary Young, was the question about that people are asking is about Baffert changing up his approach and not coming early. And one of the quotes that Baffert, that I saw from Baffert, included, you know, that really the track you train over at Churchill ends up not being the same racetrack that you run on when it comes to race day. And how does that aspect struck you?
Well, first off, I would say that guy knows what he's talking about. So if he said that, that's the case. And I would think that, you know, race day, I don't know that they do it on purpose. I doubt that they do, but the track seems to be faster on big racing days. Tracks, not just Churchill Downs, but tracks around the country seem to be a little bit quicker on big days. Also, you know, a lot of when you're doing your training at Churchill, there's no racing at that time.
Hold on. Here we go.
So I think that affects how the track is. They do different work when they have to get it ready to race in the afternoon than when they don't. And I think that's
race,
part of it.
Monomoy Girl and Midnight Bizou, they'll be among the final seven.
John
draws.
Asher stressing exactly what we just mentioned. We're going to resume. Day. And Heaven Has My Nikki, Midnight Bizou, Monomoy, Lily, Sassy, Sienna, Paula, and Wonder Godot, the last.
Lily, Mark Hennig, Joe Bravo.
My Miss Lily, the 11.
10, Midnight Bizou, Bill Spar, Mike Smith.
Winner of the Santa Anita Oaks, Midnight Bizou, draws number 10.
Number 14.
14, Monomoy Girl, Brad
wow.
Cox, Florent
wow.
Cherie.
Monomoy Girl won all but one career start. Brad Cox, who grew up two blocks from Churchill Downs, draws post number 14.
Number 5.
5, Wonder Godot, Mark Cassie, John Velasquez.
Wonder Godot for trainer Mark Cassie and Ontario bred in this year's Kentucky Oaks.
Number 1.
1, Sassy Sienna, Brad Cox, Gary Stevens.
Sassy Sienna, winner of the Fantasy last time out at Oaklawn Park, draws the rail post 1.
Number 8.
8, Heaven Has My Nikki, Anthony Quartarolo, Calvin Burrell.
Calvin Burrell, who won this race aboard Rachel Alexandra, aboard Heaven Has My Nikki.
Number 9.
9 is Take Charge Paula, Kieran McLaughlin, Jose Ortiz.
Take Charge Paula, second in the Gulfstream Park Oaks, behind Coach Rock's last time out, completes the field. Field of 14, post number 9 for Take Charge Paula. In alphabetical order from the top, Chocolate Martini draws number 4, Classy Act number 3, Coach Ross number 2, Eskimo Kisses number 13, Heaven Has My Nikki number 8, Kelly Schumer number 6, Midnight Bizou is number 10, Monomoy Girl breaks from the outside post number 14, My Miss Lily is in post number 11, Patrona Margarita in post 12, Rhea back against the fillies in the Oaks from post 7. Sassy Sienna draws the rail post number 1. Take Charge Paula number 9, and Wonder Gadeau is post position number 5. Those are your posts for the Kentucky Oaks, the 144th running of the Kentucky Oaks. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with Mike Battaglia's Morning Line, the Morning Line odds for Kentucky Oaks 144. Coming up next, right after this, from Churchill Downs and the post-draw for the Longines Kentucky Oaks.
Well, Johnny, here is Brad Cox, and I guess when you've got 3 out of the 14 horses, you've got a better opportunity to draw poorly, not as poorly as this, getting Monomoy Girl in the 14, and Sassy Sienna draws the rail. I suppose Coach Rocks in the 2-hole is also a little interesting and may force Dale Romans and Louis Saez's hands a little bit. She's tractable, and I suppose it'll depend on how she breaks. But Sassy Sienna thinks she wants to go forward, and we know Monomoy does as well.
Yeah, the 14-hole for a speed Monomoy Girl has some pace. So, and I don't think there's a lot of pace directly inside of her. Correct me if I'm wrong on that, but I think she's going to be able to get over reasonably well. It may turn out to be not that big a deal. It sure seems like it at first, and you don't want to have to deal with it. But the good news is from out there, you can see what everyone else is doing. The bad news is if you want to be on the lead, you might have to go a little faster than you want to.
So well, that's the risk of getting hung out. Yeah, getting hung. Yeah. It's not like the Derby. Yeah. The Derby, you got the whole stretch to find position. Here, you really don't. I mean, the turn comes up relatively quickly, and you have to make a decision. Let's listen to the Morning Line odds. John Asher joins us.
Program. Let's send it to John and Mike.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, here are the Morning Line odds for Kentucky Oaks 144. I'm going to read them in alphabetical order, but I'll give you the morning line favorite, the top 2 choices off the top. Number 14, Monomoy Girl, is the 2-1 favorite for the Kentucky Oaks for trainer Brad Cox, the winner of the Ashland Stakes at Keeneland, and the Santa Anita Oaks winner, Midnight Bizou, with Mike Smith up for trainer Cliff Spar, at 5-2 in the morning line. So 2-1 on Monomoy Girl, Midnight Bizou at 5-2. We'll take them in alphabetical order after this. Number 4, Chocolate Martini, is 12-1 in the morning line. Number 3, Classy Act, under Brian Hernandez, 15-1. Number 2, Coach Rocks, with Luis Saez at 12-1. Coach Rocks, number 2, at 12-1. Number 13, at Eskimo Kisses, with Corey Lannery in the saddle at 15-1. Number 8, Heaven Has My Nicky, with Calvin Burrell up at 30-1. 30-1 for Heaven Has My Nicky. Number 6, Kelly's Humor, also 30-1. 30-1 for Kelly's Humor, breaking out of number 6. Again, number 10, Midnight Bizou, is at 5-2. Number 14, Monomoy Girl, the morning line favorite, and Mike Battaglia's morning line, is at 2-1. My Miss Lily, winner of the Gazelle under Joe Bravo at 10-1 for the Mark Hennig-trained My Miss Lily. Number 12, Patrona Margarita, Ricardo Santana Jr. up at 30-1. 30-1 on the 12, Patrona Margarita. Number 7, Rhea with Drayden Van Dyke up for trainer Bob Baffert, going for 2 Kentucky Oaks wins in a row. Rhea at 15-1. 15-1 on number 7, Rhea. Number 1, Sassy Sienna, Gary Stevens, who rode Silver Bullet Day to victory in the Kentucky Oaks back in 1999, Sassy Sienna at 15-1. Number 9, Take Charge Paula, Jose Ortiz up at 15-1. And number 5, Wonder Gadot, Johnny Velasquez up, Wonder Gadot at 20-1 odds, 20-1 on Wonder Gadot. Here's your field of 14, a full gate of 14 fillies for the Kentucky Oaks. The race will be run Friday here at Churchill Downs. Thanks for being here with us today. We will see you tomorrow for the draw for the 144th Kentucky Oaks, presented by Woodford Reserve. Thank you for being here, and have a great Kentucky Oaks.
Well, Johnny, there's your field, and I can take a minute here, and I understand why it had to be given in in alphabetical order, but for those that were trying to keep track, let me run it down for you, and I'll put it up momentarily on Twitter. But Sassy Sienna from the rail, Brad Cox, 15-1. The two, Coach Rocks, Dale Romans, Louis Saez, 12-1. The three, Classy Act, Brett Calhoun with Brian Hernandez Jr., 15-1. The four, Chocolate Martini, Tom Amos, Mitch Merrill, 12-1. The five, Wonder Gadot, and we're stressing the the Hebrew pronunciation, the Israeli-style pronunciation of Gal Gadot's name, Dot. D-O-T, dot. She is 20-1, and the pretty inviting number. Johnny V, and drawn inside enough, I think it's key that she not lose ground. Mark Cassie, Johnny V for Gary Garber, and Barber at 20-1. Kelly Zumer, Brad Cox, Arad Ortiz, 30-1 in the 6, the 7, Raya, DVD, Drayden Van Dyke, Bob Baffert, 15-1. Heaven Has My Nikki gets in for Ron Paolucci. Anthony Quartarolo and Calvin Burrell gets the call, 30-1. The 9, Take Charge Paula, Kieran McLaughlin with Jose Ortiz, 15-1. Midnight Bizou, second choice, 5-2 for Bill Spar and Mike Smith. My Miss Lily, Mark Hennig, big leggy thing. Joe Bravo aboard, 10-1 from the 11 hole. The 12, Patrona Margarita, Brett Stevens, Ricardo Santana Jr. And you're looking at a price. I lost her, 30-1. And Eskimo Kisses, Ken McPeak, Corey Lannery, 15-1 from the 13 hole. Monomoy Girl, your favorite, Brad Cox, Florent Giroux, 2-1. There's your field for the Oaks. Johnny?
Yeah, it's a great lineup. It really is. I see some interesting prices in here. Obviously, I'm going to look at it further. Coach Rocks at 12-1. That's an interesting number. Classy Act, number 3, at 15-1. Chocolate Martini at 12-1. Wonder Gadot, as you mentioned, Gadot, as you mentioned, 20-1. That's definitely picked your head up a little bit. The first two choices, Midnight Bisou and Monomoy Girl, certainly deserve favoritism. And I would not worry about that outside post because as I look at it here, if you go from the 14 in, there's very little speed inside of her. So she should be able to get over, I would think, without too much difficulty. I would be surprised if she had a real issue getting over from the outside. But certainly when the 2-1 favorite draws a 14, it's an issue worth investigating.
Oh, and I just, I made one mistake in here with... Yeah, I said Mitch Merrill. It's not Mitch Merrill. It's Javier. I appreciate that. Somebody on Twitter fixed that. I got to fix that. Okay, let me fix it. Done. And, all right. We know because I had a slug, obviously, of the 14 horses and then was trying to, move them around as things were going, and so there is the potential to. There were a couple of changes of jocks, as it turned out. So let me. I want to get this out for people. So, well, Johnny, who, in terms of the 2-day wagers, Oaks. Derby double, who has to be, who are the A's and B's on your win tickets in this Oaks?
I obviously think the A's and the Oaks have to be the two favorites. I really do. They really look strong in here. However, in if you want to do some B stuff, Coach Rocks deserves some real attention off that win down at Gulfstream. That was a very nice win. I was a little bit disappointed in her age. Maybe if she saves ground at 20-1, I don't think that'll be the price, but at that kind of price, and as I mentioned, Classy Act, Chocolate Martini, those are more B horses. I think the top two deserve the lion's share of the attention. And then in the Derby, I'm going with three at this point until I see the draw: Audible, Justify, and Magic, and not in that order. I've been against Justify because of what he is trying to accomplish, but I will not be sitting here on Sunday of next week saying that Justify beat me out of the Kentucky Derby Superfecta. That's not going to happen. Because he's just too—he's too talented, you know. He's got to overcome an awful lot. But as Gary Young said, with that man training and the talent that this horse has, I will not be sitting here saying Justify knocked me out of the Superfecta, even though he's up against it. If you pressed me for a single horse in the Derby, I would say Good Magic.
I've started a canvas. You know, I know not to ask too many people, you know, their choice ahead of the draw. But I happened to hear from Marty McGee, and I came in to the track together this morning, and I said, "You got a pick firm yet?" And he said, "Good Magic," and he snapped it out without hesitation. So. Marty's...
I'll change mine then too. <I'm> just kidding.
Well, there is a notable handicapper from that paper who the people may take that attitude, but I'll refrain. Exactly.
Don't hold me to it. We've got a draw to go through. So yeah.
Exactly. Well,
on
we'll
Thursday,
be...
you can hold me to what I say on Thursday.
I love it. Well, Johnny, we will get in the final thoughts as we always do with you at the end of the week, and we will remind everybody: ExpressBet Kentucky Derby Wagering Guide updates will begin tomorrow from everybody after the draw, and any notes and things that we see about how the interest might change. I mean, I can tell you that. You know, Hofburg has sort of wormed his way, I think, onto the bottom of my exotics. If I had to, you know, my top three won't change, certainly. I laid out Justify, Good Magic, and Bolt Doro, but I would guess that I would slip Hofburg in right now. I might sub him in for Flame Away right this minute if I was giving a superfecta four today, but the top three, I'll live with those top three. And you know, people, somebody said to me on, I put my notes out and my those four out, and somebody on Facebook said, oh, you know, leaving Mendelsohn is a huge mistake. It's not a huge mistake. This is one of those horses where you take a horse like him and you make some saver bets with him, and you know you've got him on backup tickets and on, you know, whether it's as a B or a C. If that's your attitude, you can utilize Mendelsohn. Just because you don't pick him or don't have him, you know, in the top formatted layout, doesn't mean when it comes time to cash tickets, if he ran big, you can still have utilized him. So, you know, it isn't. That's the beauty of this. I mean, you can bob and weave.
Yeah, absolutely. Things change. You know, it's a fluid situation, and this year it's particularly fluid because we have so many good horses.
No doubt, Johnny.
Stevie, thank you.
Thank you.
And I'm getting the impression you've enjoyed your first week in Louisville, and I wish you a fortunate a draw tomorrow, and a successful Derby week.
I appreciate it, and as always, yeah, we've had the first week, you know, you wade into the action, and you get a lot of those preliminaries out of the way, and you know, now, especially with the way they've shifted this to Monday, Tuesday, it's going to make it even, you know, more productive, and we can fit even more in as we look forward to Friday and Saturday. And, of course, tomorrow when racing picks back up, it's fun to be, you know, on track during the day. You get all the horses, not just the Oaks and Derby horses. They come schooling, and they come to the paddock, and it's a lot of fun. You get a chance to, you know, the people that come to town, and they're going to come out Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Derby. They're going to, you know, crowd the paddock. You know, you'll see, you know, for those of you that are coming for the first time this week, you'll have a chance to, you know, to take pictures. You could, in some cases, there'll be trainers and jocks that you can talk to, mix it up with them. And so don't miss that opportunity either, because that's a good part of what goes on here, leading into Friday and Saturday. We're at Churchill, and we'll talk to Johnny when he's got final thoughts end of the week. We'll see about getting Eddie Olczyk as well. And John, I think last year, I think Johnny and Eddie both gave you everything you needed. I was victimized. Looking at Lee starting in the third slot. I did not have him in my ticket structure. I did not have him on any ticket finishing second, only third. And you know, that's one of those nuances when it comes to ticket structure. And I can actually discuss that as the week goes on, in fact, from what I could have the choice of King. Like right now, when it comes to the wagering guide, I've got Justified in one bet, keyed over Good Magic and Bolt Oro, and then 10 others in $2 tries. Now, the other key is to then have Justify under Good Magic and Bolt Oro on top, Justify second with those 10 horses. However, Justify with the 10 horses second and Good Magic, Bolt Oro in third. That's the way to alleviate, you know, having that group of horses that I kind of envisioned either staying on and holding on for third or getting up late for third. So you and the beauty of 50-cent tries, you can, you know, for $2, those are $40 tickets. For a dollar, they're 20. For 50 cents, they're only $10. Can't beat that, right? And you can get a lot of coverage for small money, and that's one of the real, you know, the real beauties of this race, and one of the fun challenges. 2.5 in on this Monday, getting going. Let's take a break here, and we haven't really taken the foot off the accelerator since we broke. So let's take a timeout, and we'll catch up on. I've got some of the results from the weekend that I want to slip out there. And I've also got a terrific push, especially for those of you coming with the wife and or girlfriend, and we're going to get you get a little headpiece taken care of for you. You'll thank me later, believe me, because your wife or girlfriend, they're going to come, they're going to realize, you know, they think that they're not a hat person. Well, then they're going to get here and they're going to say, I got to have a hat. I got you covered. Not to worry. You're going to have to go downtown, but do yourself a favor on this. Trust me. Got to trust me about this one little thing. Back to Churchill after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Beck on Sirius XM Radio.
enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get five full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF past performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for five of today's top tracks. Visit DRF.com/multi-track today.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. We've extended our special introductory price through to May 1st, so log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
And we're slugging to acknowledge the knots in the laces. Hearted races. And we go back to where we moved out to the places. Hearted races. I bought it in the can and stirred it.
We're back at the races. A couple of things. I just saw a note actually come up on Twitter about the Thursday seminar. And Lafitte Pinkai III, myself, and Dan Torjman. We're going to give you the Stats RaceLens seminar tonight, actually, at... at where? At Molly Malone's, I think, right? Molly Malone's? Where's Jenny Reese when I need her? Tonight at 6 o'clock, Molly Malone, for Second Stride. We've got a seminar. It's Jenny and me and Marty McGee. There it is, yes. Molly Malone's on Baxter Ave. And from 6 to 9:30... Easy. I don't think we're going to talk for 3.5 hours, but 6 to 9:30 tonight for Second Stride that does a wonderful job with second career off the track thoroughbred. Speaking of off the track thoroughbreds, going to be joined by Nicole Russo from the Daily Racing Forum in a minute. She was at Land Rover. We'll give you the results to the 3-day event, and actually had a pretty stunning finale, as it happens, the way things turned out. But Second Stride tonight, and if you're in town and you'd like to join us, feel free. And I think it's a $20 donation as the fundraiser. So, FYI on that. And since we're on the second career, well, I'll wait for Nicole, and we'll get. From that, we'll get her thoughts. Let me give you that suggestion. If you're coming to town, or if you're local and you're unaware, Olivia Griffin, who is one of the most respected milliners in the country, she has relocated her her hat shop, and she doesn't buy blanks and decorate them. She makes them herself. GriffinHatters.com if you want to see what she does. But met her apprentice milliner over the weekend. And the shop is downtown. It's called Mysterious Rack. And it's at 4th and Chestnut, 558 South 4th. So, Olivia Griffin, GriffinHatters.com if you want to see what she does. And the stuff is exquisite. And you'll be way ahead of the curve in terms of Olivia Griffin designs. Apparently in L.A. and out on the West Coast, I mean, just a very exclusive clientele. And she has relocated herself here really with Derby in mind, and it's become she's been here, I think, I didn't ask her how long she's been here, but just unbelievable. Olivia Griffin, Mysterious Rack, 558 South 4th, nearest to Chestnut as the cross street. So for those of you going to be downtown, and believe me, the wife or girlfriend, if they're saying, "Oh, I don't need one," reconsider. GriffinHatters.com. I had to give that out. I it was nice. They were inadvertent that I came to meet Olivia and Eileen. So there you go. To the weekend results before we're joined by Nicole. I'm looking around for her and I can't find her. I told you about Beckford, and clearly Brendan Walsh has got himself something special, it looks like. We'll see. I half thought to get him on today, but this is obviously last seen in North America in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf, so stretching out is not going to be an issue. But he started the three-year-old campaign with the Walker, and if you haven't seen it yet, pull it up. Scary good. At Glendon, I'll throw in the Maryland Hunt Cup result, and Senior Senator, it's funny, he wins his second Maryland Hunt Cup in 3 years. And last year, when he was featured on 60 Minutes in that really nice timber racing feature. And he fell, like, I think at the third fence last year. This year, he comes back and wins, and wire to wire, and just was tremendous. Eric Poritz aboard for Joe Davies, and just a pretty impressive. So Senior Senator, who has been good now for an extended period, and followed up the win last week in the Grand National Timber, follows it up, and he... It's funny, the only miscue was last year in the Hunt Cup, where, the biggest race of the year, $100,000 Hunt Cup. Not far away, at Philly on Saturday, slip in those Pennsylvania bred results. Grasshoppin wins the Lyman, and that nice Power of Snooter. She's how old is she now? She's 8 years old. She's unbelievable. Power of Snooner for Tim Kreiser. Wins the Foxy JG. Mentioned that Mom's on Strike, your winner in the Bewitch, and closes out the stakes portion of the Keeneland calendar. Santa Anita, quick set of stake winners. The Santa Barbara, Queen Blossom, for Abundanza, and of course, Richard Baltus had this race kind of cornered, four out of the six. So Queen Blossom wins the Santa Barbara. And I know people were disdainful of the field in the Californian. Maybe nobody's noticed that Dr. Dorr has become a serious, serious player in the handicap division. He's getting better and better as he matures. He stretched out from the Santana Mile and won again. This time, the mile in the eighth, his first time trying the distance. He's 5-for-7 at Santa Anita. Joe Talamo, good for Joe. And this, of course, is Jill Baffert owns, and Bob bred this gelding. The Looking at Lucky with Madeline Arback and Jack Klugman. Very so cool to see Klugman's name on the line. I hope some of you who heard Doug O'Neill, this one, Gary Young and I were commiserating. King Cause was a horse that we talked about with Doug O'Neill, and then missed him yesterday at 23-1, paid 49.20, breaking his maiden. And Gary said the same thing. He also missed him yesterday after betting him in his debut. And Belvoir Bay for Gary Barber and Team Valor. Tyler Bay's aboard for Peter Miller, winning the San Simeon yesterday. Put those headphones on, Nicole Russo. By the way, Caledonia Road came back. Turn that around. There you go. Caledonia Road came back a winner and won well. Ralph Nix, who we'll look to talk to the next couple of days here. I want to just see what he's going to the Acorn next. And she came back running. I haven't looked up a figure yet to see what went on there. So Caledonia Road is back, and she will mix it up with the rest of the good three-year-old fillies, and we'll see quite a few of those here. Had the opportunity to grab Nicole Russo, which I wanted to do on a number of fronts. Nicole was tracking OBS, and she was spent a couple of days at, everybody keeps calling it Rolex, as is going to be the habit for a while, but now I've got to get used to saying Land Rover. And pretty stunning result in the show jumping ring on Sunday got us an upset.
Yeah, it was. I was following the, as you said, Land Rover Kentucky 3-day event pretty closely, just because I love the sport of eventing, and because from our perspective, a number of thoroughbred former racehorses were competing in eventing, which, if you're not familiar with it, is often described as an equestrian triathlon. Horses compete in three phases: in dressage, which tests sort of their trainability and their partnership with the rider, their suppleness, their rhythm, doing kind of like a prescribed series of movements in a riding ring. Cross country, which takes place, the Rolex course is about 4 miles long, over solid obstacles and natural obstacles such as water and ditches the horses are traversing, definitely testing their stamina, their courage. And then stadium jumping on the last day is not only kind of a technical test, but also sees how fit and how much stamina the horse has remaining at the end of this very long weekend. And as you mentioned, kind of a very surprising result. Michael Young and his fantastic German sport horse mare Fischer Racana brought the lead into the stadium jumping phase after cross country, but it was a tight leaderboard. Less than 4 penalty points were separating the top 5 horse and rider pairs. That amounts to 1 rail. And unfortunately, Fischer Racana and Michael Young did drop 1 rail in the stadium jumping, giving the win to Oliver Townend of Great Britain and his Cooley Masterclass. Donner, with longtime partner Lynn Szymanski, was our highest place off the track thoroughbred in 6th.
Yeah. And she had finished 4th, I think, the first year that she brought Donner, and we were watching for Lynn, and it looked like she was in striking distance. But the fact that Michael Young got beat is, in this world, is huge. I mean, that is a mammoth upset, and that he dropped that rail. And it really was, his hand was forced because the winner ran a perfect course, right? I mean,
yes, yeah.
No deductions.
Yeah, Townend and Cooley Masterclass ran what we call a double clear round. No jumping penalties, no refusals, no rails down, and no time penalties.
Right.
Stadium jumping, they go in reverse order of the standings. They were second coming into the day, or third coming into the day, I apologize. Really put the pressure on the top two. The horse and rider who were sitting second overnight dropped two rails to drop them down, and then Young dropped the rail to move your third place overnight into first. There was really no room for error for any of the top five.
Amazing. And they're watching it. I mean, the oohing and the gasp, the audible gasp that Michael Young would have an error. It is pretty remarkable. It is such a great spectacle. And I hope some people took an interest, you know, from last week. We had Jen Reutz going into the weekend, and the weather was idyllic. I mean, which is rare. They're almost invariably among the 4 days, Thursday through Sunday, there'll be some issues. For those of you that didn't get to go, it is always the week before Derby week, so tie it in to your visits, and tied into Nicole's visits are all the good things that she does at DRF, which also includes the bloodstock work. Gary Young gave us a little bit of a recap from a buyer perspective at OBS, and I also talked to him. I had made some notes, Nicole, just some horses, particularly some stallions that I thought kind of jumped off the page in terms of value from their stud fee to what they sold, and also the clearance rate. I consider it a real success when, you know, some of these lower profile stallions sell through, and virtually everything that goes through the ring, none RNA, none, you know, they all, very few outs, and like a horse like It's My Lucky Day had a very good sale and shaken it up. We talked about with Gary. Gary was impressed with that, with the one big seller. Drill had a good sale. We know the big names are gonna sell. Arch had a excellent. Arch is having a bit of a renaissance at this point in his stud career.
He is, and you know, it's sad because Claiborne did lose him, you know, several years ago. You know, we're coming up on some of his last foals now, so I think certainly supply and demand is playing a bit of a role as well. And of course, discussing his renaissance, he's going to be represented in the Derby with Instilled Regard, one of the final horses into the field on points. And Instilled Regard himself sold for seven figures as a youngster, so I think you're definitely seeing, you know, those dynamics in play at these two-year-old sales with horses like Arch, Scat Daddy, just because there aren't going to be any more of
exchange,
them.
Exchange Rate.
Yes, yes. Exchange Rate, always a very good two-year-old sire himself, very consistent.
Very good sale result. We look toward Timonium literally in 2 weeks because it's the week after Preakness. So a lot of this just becomes, you know, an endurance test. While we've got you, you'll be doing some pedigree writing about Derby, some thoughts here as we seem set right now, knock on wood, with this field of 20, some thoughts that you think horses per se that are going to stand out making that 10th furlong.
Well, one horse who really jumps out on the page and who has really jumped out at me training this week is the Wood winner, Vino Rosso. He's got one of the stronger pedigrees, I think, for this distance. He's by Curlin, who is well represented with three in the likely field at this moment. Curlin has had a classic winner or a classic placed runner from each of his crops to date, looking to keep that streak alive. And on the female side, I mean, Vino Rosso's dam is a half to commissioner, a very long winded, was second in the Belmont, a close second in the
Belmont.
Oh, no. I hit assault in the wound. I'm sorry. But yeah, so Vino Rosso just comes in with that very strong page, looks to be headed in the right way on paper, and I've really liked the way he's getting over this track this week.
I agree, and particularly this morning, Magnum Moon tore right away into his work, but Vino Rosso moves lithely over the track. Impressive. Who among some of the oddball horses, who is caught your eye or from a pedigree standpoint should benefit here and get that 10th furlong? And it doesn't have to be, you know, as I say often, there's so there's so often a horse that just clicks along. I've used Solomini as the example, a horse that just is going in 24-2, 24-3, 24-3, 24-2, and all of a sudden you look up and he's running, you know, 202-3. That'll play well in a lot of derbies.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think a horse that, you know, is kind of being a little bit forgotten, considering he's got a graded win over the track, is Enticed. He's by another stallion who's a classic sire in Medaglia d'Oro. Of course, he hasn't had a colt breakthrough yet, but he's the sire of Rachel Alexandra, who, of course, won the Oaks and the Preakness in her championship campaign. Damn, it's tricky. Never, you know, by Mineshaft, son of AP Indy. She never broke through at a mile and a quarter, but I think that's also a function of just who she was running against. I mean, you look at her three-year-old year, and it's Royal Delta. It's Plum Pretty. You know, she had a terrific, terrific campaign, was very good at those middle to longer distances. So, I mean, Enticed royally bred for Godolphin, has, as I mentioned, that graded win around two turns here last fall. And, I mean, he's run well this spring. I mean, you could certainly give him an excuse in the wood, which was a contested race.
No doubt. And that came up as a discussion point already the other day last week with Andy Serling. Andy can't be on tomorrow, by the way. It works out fine, actually, because we'll be at the draw. So we'll talk to Andy and get, and he'll have videos up as well at Naira.com. But we'll talk to Andy on Wednesday. But he and I both agreed that Enticed, one of these horses that is going to be, we're using the term post-hype, that if he had won the wood, you know, he'd be fancied coming here. The fact that he got beat only for his supporters only is going to enhance, you know, his price. Among the let's call them the deep closer types, some thoughts on the free drop billies, the lone sailors, Hofburg, combatant, in terms of horses that are going to be making late runs, any of those that you've got an interest in?
Well, I mean, you know, Hofburg, I think, you know, the way he's trained this week, I believe the phrase was smooth as silk that was used after his final work.
That's
over
what Bill
the weekend.
Mott said.
Yeah, and he's another one who's bred to run all day. Tappet's had three Belmont winners in the last 4 years. This is the immediate family of Emollient, who was so good for Judmont, winning a number of grade one stakes around two turns. My boy Jack, I think he's just raced himself into such fitness this spring. You know, he's a deep closer, and, you know, his energy level on the track has looked so good, even with all the racing and all the traveling, four races in four states that he's done this spring. It's hard with deep closers in the Derby, just because I think so much has to go their way from a racing luck perspective. But, you know, I really think that this particular Derby, they're certainly going to have the pace to run at.
Oaks thoughts. Any Oaks? It's a mile and an eighth, and obviously it's a little bit of a different equation. There are going to be some gals that will be making the trip themselves for the first time. It's a little bit different from the Derby, and not that different, but you do have horses that have had a mile and an eighth already, the Gazelle, for instance, and others will be having to stretch out from a mile and a 16th. Pedigree-wise, among the fillies?
I mean, you know, pedigree-wise, Eskimo Kisses certainly runs the way you would expect her to run. She's from a big, big two-turn family. I mean, this the family of winning colors. And, you know, Eskimo Kisses, Kenny McPeak trained her accordingly, gave her the time to develop. She's made all of her starts at a mile or longer, and the light bulb has really come on as she's really gotten to go long in the Fairgrounds Oaks and in the Ashland. She's another one who's going to be coming at that pace, which I do think she'll have some pace to run at. With, you know, Classy Act and Monomoy Girl, and, you know, perhaps some others joining them on the front end. But, you know, I'm really having a hard time looking past Monomoy Girl. I've liked her since last fall. I've watched her develop. She's another one who's run very well over this track in the past, answered the two-turn question this spring. In the Rachel Alexandra, she showed that she doesn't need things to go all her own way to run her race, which I think is very important coming into a race like this. You know, I think their hand might be forced a little bit from the 14. You know, they're going to have to secure some position early, the draw having just concluded, but I really am having a hard time looking past her.
I will make the note that there's only a pair of fillies that have won at the distance, and even only three have tried, actually. Wonder Godot, a winner going back to last year, and then, of course, My Miss Lily in the Gazelle. Actually, those are, I think, the only, yeah, Sarah Street's not running. So I think you've only got the two participants that have even tried a mile and an eighth.
Well, Rhea has actually been running
That's
at a
true.
mile
and 3:16. So she's cutting back.
Yes, so she's actually cutting back and won the UAE Oaks.
That's right.
And then ran second to Mendelssohn in the UAE
That's right.
Derby.
That's
so
right.
So she's very interesting. I think the question with her is more, you know, circumstantial, coming over from Dubai, moving into Bob Baffert's barn. You know, how is she going to cope and adapt with all of that? We'll start getting a chance to see her on the track tomorrow.
She's a tiny little thing.
Yes, that's what I've heard. I'm you know, a lot of these horses coming in from out of town, I'm looking forward to seeing them for the first time.
As you can tell, can't have enough visits from Nicole Russo, who does just a tremendous job. And first time in person, but we've had Nicole join us by phone. And whether it's Bloodstock, whether it's off-the-track thoroughbreds, makeover projects and so forth, or the pedigree work and just straight race yap, does a tremendous job.
Thanks, Steve. And I really do appreciate getting the chance to talk about, you know, aftercare. I do have an off-the-track thoroughbred, and it's a big passion of mine. It was a lot of fun to kind of do something different and follow that for Land Rover this weekend.
That's well done. And her story is up at DRF.com. Follow DRF Russo if she's not among your follows. Does a tremendous job. Nicole, thanks so much.
Thanks, Steve.
A lot of fun. Nicole Russo with a catch-all visit. I don't got to take advantage. You got 15 hours this week. Now we're down to 12. If you missed anything, replay tomorrow 6 to 9. We'll thank Johnny and Nicole and Gary Young and who else? Who else was here? I can't remember. Case, help me out. Who else? I don't even remember who else was here. Oh, Travis. That's right. Travis Stone on the pickup. Thank you, Nicole. She was wonderful. Back with you tomorrow. Draw day for the Derby. The full card. I'll get the overnight up as soon as it's ready in the racing office. And I'll be back with you tomorrow morning. It is Monday. Kind of a quiet, very quiet day, actually. I think only 5 venues running today, if I'm not mistaken. Right? Finger Lakes, Parks. Sam Houston? That's not right. Sam Houston? Thistledown? Talk to you tomorrow, everybody.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrizNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BrizNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BrizNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year and is available at BrizNet.com/APR. The BrizNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BrizNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BrizNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
While being on the cutting edge of scientific and nutritional research, Biomedical Research Labs has developed the number one selling equine blood builder in the world, the most advanced muscle builder and tie-up preventer, and now the best anti-bleeding paste ever made. To find out how EPO Equine Unlock and Bleeder Guard can help your equine athletes, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 938-4643.